There's nothing like being in the stands cheering on your favorite team. Game Time is your hack to unlocking amazing tickets in just a few taps. Plus, their Game Time guarantee means you can trust you'll get 100% authentic tickets at the best price. Fees are always included, so what you see is what you pay. Get the best deals on sports tickets. Download the Game Time app and create an account to start searching for tickets to upcoming games and events. Swipe, tap, ticket, go. Game Time.
With Venmo Stash, a taco on one hand and ordering a ride in the other means you're stacking cash back. With Venmo Stash, get up to 5% cash back when you pick a bundle of your favorite brands. Earn more cash when you do more with Stash. Venmo Stash terms and exclusions apply. Max $100 cash back per month. See terms at Venmo.me/stash terms.
W-T-L.
It's a big, hairy American winning machine. You ain't first, you're last.
W-T-L.
All right, nice, huh? Got a talk show here, talk show with my mic. I got everything.
W-T-L.
What he does is work out and performance. 10 and 2, 85% weekend. You're a mute.
W-T-L.
Brings me to my next point. Don't smoke crack.
Welcome to WTL, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by
Gibran.
The Parlay Pounder.
Yes, sir. We're back.
Oh, man, you're going to be pounding again. We got to talk UFC.
No doubt about it. We got fight night coming up Friday night.
Friday night, fight night.
Yep.
Kind of a special card here. Kind of a coming of age, if you will, or a championship type of contest.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's the we got two of these fights right here that are actually pretty fun to talk about because they're the season finales of the Ultimate Fighter that, you know, the UFC kind of got its start with. That's where, you know, all the big names have come from there. Forrest Whitaker was from there, Nate Diaz was from there, Kamaru Usman, Israel Adesanya, all got their starts on the Ultimate Fighter in the UFC. So it's fun to watch these guys come up through this show and really get a shot to, you know, be on a main card.
Yeah, and it's basically, I mean, their own in-house farming system.
Exactly.
And it's a show in itself, right? It's on ESPN, and people can follow along. So you can actually follow these guys' careers before they even really get started.
Exactly.
So kind of a couple cool matchups there. We also have Wes Reynolds from VSiN.
For sure.
Out there in Vegas. Took some time away and talked to us a little bit here. Of course, he took care of the college football preview.
Yeah.
I mean, that was like 300 pages.
It was crazy with all those teams. Yeah. Awesome.
131 D1 schools covered. And he covered a lot of the Big Ten, the Huskers. He's a Indiana alum. He's an old Hoosier.
No, he's a Big Ten guy for sure. And that's where his knowledge is on college football. So it was nice to talk to him about that.
Yeah, so we'll get to his interview after we talk a little UFC. Then we'll come back and we'll put our own thoughts on a lot of futures, a lot of props coming out for the Huskers.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're going to dive right into that. You know we got to.
You know we got to. There's no doubt about it.
All right, so let's start with some of these fun matchups. We got Brogan Walker versus Juliana the Killer Miller.
Yeah, no, this is so fun to talk about because these two chicks have really went at it all year on the Ultimate Fighter, and these are the best two that came out of the season. Brogan Walker is kind of she's been around the block a little bit. She has more fight experience than Juliana Miller, but when they're talking about the killer, she is an absolute killer. A lot of people came into this thinking that she was going to be one of the first ones out of this, and she has pretty much submitted her way to the finals here and has a very surprising ground game that people really didn't expect out of her.
Here's a stat line for you. 100% of her fights end in submission.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. she's a killer. But like I'm saying here, expect Walker's experience to kind of make a difference in this one. Yeah. If Miller can turn this into, like we said, a grappling contest, she has the more refined class there.
Yeah,
but however, I think Brogan Walker, being around the block a little bit, has
a little bit of an advantage here. Her record's 8-2. Miller's only 3-1. Also, where I'm looking at an advantage, I go here all the time. Brogy the Bear weighs 140 compared to Miller at only 125.
Yeah, yeah.
15-pound difference.
For sure. Walker's strength and, you know, willing ability to avoid being taken down by Miller's preferred style. I really think that Walker's going to walk away with this one. And the line on it is actually pretty good right now. You can get down minus 105 right now. So that's a very good line to throw in there. So I am all in on Brogan Walker in this one, Andy.
Very good, very good. And, of course, not a whole lot of information out over these two fighters because they haven't really started their professional careers yet.
No.
They're on the basically a glorified sitcom.
Exactly. you know? No, it is. It's a reality show.
Yeah, Road Rules meets a UFC.
Yeah, just keeping up with the Kardashians with Ultimate Fighting. It's really kind of funny because they, you know, try and tug at people's emotions on this show and make people cry. And you know that these guys are just, you know, they're wanting to
they're
fight.
They're playing it up.
Yeah, exactly. They have to play it up because it's a TV show. But I'll you know, congratulations to Dana White. There's 30 seasons of this show, so obviously
it got picked up by ESPN.
Obviously, it works. Obviously, it works. So, no, I like it a lot, and this live finale should be a good one. To get into the other fight that I'm really, really, you know, anxious to see is you got Muhammad Usman, younger brother of Kamaru Usman, the UFC champion that has just won fight after fight after fight. His little brother's getting his shot here, and these are heavyweights against Zach Pauga, which is, you know,
Ripper.
He is coming into it a very he's just an athlete, Andy. He played Colorado State football for college. He got picked up by the Texans, kind of got injured a little bit. So this guy is just an athlete and had just picked this up. Both of them aren't very defined fighters.
No, there's not much out on them at
all. No, there's not. But if you watch the season, Zach Pauga definitely has the most. You know, he's just got that look of
more
a UFC fighter.
More tools in the box.
Yes, and the way that I've kind of seen Usman, he kind of just relies on his strength a lot, and I think he will get gassed.
He does outweigh him.
Yeah, he does.
240 to 225.
Yeah. The way that I'm looking at this, Andy, this fight will mostly likely be finished before the 15 minutes is up. I don't think Usman has the cardio to go 15 minutes and cause any real damage to Pauga. I really just believe Zach is the quicker fighter.
More athletic. You like that. You like the athlete.
I do. I see Usman getting caught and then being overwhelmed with the strikes, showing defeat in his body language before the fight has even stopped. There's a lot of pressure on the younger brother of this champion, and I think Pauga seems hungry and sharp enough to really outclass the guy and really just take it away from him.
Hey, he's 6-0 in his, you know.
Exactly. And just the way that odds makers are making this right now is Pauga is at a minus 260 to win this fight. So I think the odds makers are kind of right on the nose with this one. So I might not straight bet this one, but it's definitely going to be part of my parlay that I take on the end of this segment here.
Very good. We'll save that. We'll bottle that one up and save it for a little later here. Muhammad the Motor Usman versus Zach the Ripper Pauga.
Yes, sir.
All right, let's move on to the main event.
Yeah, we got Thiago Santos. Yep, versus Jamal Hill. And this is one of those that we've always talked about, Andy. There's a guy on the rise and there's a guy on the decline.
Yep.
Santos is definitely on the decline. He just never really recovered from the split decision loss in his epic clash against John Jones in UFC 239 all those years ago, losing three of the four next fights, but he's still pegged as the number six light heavyweight in the world.
He is.
But on the other side of that coin, Andy, Jamal Hill's coming off back-to-back first-round KOs against Johnny Walker and Jimmy Crute that have vaulted him all the way up to number 10 in the rankings. I just don't see this going well for Santos. He's obviously going to be desperate for a win to maintain that grasp on that spot, but I just don't think he's an actual contender in this weight class anymore. I feel sorry for him because I love the sledgehammer. I've been a fan for years on him, but this Hill kid is coming in, and he's coming in. He has wasted no time establishing himself as a legitimate UFC lightweight contender, and so Sweet Dreams, I think, is taking this one out, and the way that the line looks now, on my book, he's at a minus 325 to take this. So the odds makers are on my side with the Jamal Hill pick.
I mean,
so,
he's called Sweet Dreams because he is knocking fools out.
Exactly.
And look at his average fight time, less than 6 minutes. He's averaging over 1.5 knockouts
for sure.
15 minutes. That's three rounds. So, yeah, everything is kind of leaning towards, including the line, heavy favorite, Jamahal Hill.
For sure. And if you guys are still on the Thiago Santos, train there, there is that plus 230 bet does have value to it, but I just don't see him pulling it out. Like I said, though, with that line being such a, crazy line in favor of Jamahal Hill, that minus 325, I don't like straight betting that.
No, there's no value.
I like to take a little step back here, Andy. So this is my money play for the week on UFC. I'm doing a three-team parlay. I am going Jamahal Hill at minus 325. I'm going Zach Pauga at minus 260, and then ending it with Brogan Walker at a minus 105. I'm going to throw $50 on this parlay to get $126 back. I think it's the best value. I think all three of these are going to hit. So $50, just a light bet to, receive $126 and, kind of throw on those Husker bets that we're going to come on.
No doubt about it. The Parlay Pounder is going to give you that parlay.
No doubt about
it. All right, we're going to take a quick break here. We're going to come right back with Wes Reynolds of VSiN. He's going to talk a little bit of college football. We're going to really dive in on the Huskers, what's been happening the last couple of years, some of those zany stat lines, and have him make heads or tails of it.
Exactly.
All right, folks, thanks for listening to WTL. Don't go anywhere. I'd like to welcome to the show Wes Reynolds of VSiN, one of the main contributors to the 2022 College Football Betting Guide. Wes, thanks for being on the show.
Good to be with you, Andy. Thanks for having me.
I got to tell you, you guys did a bang-up job once again with that betting preview, covering 131 teams, 300 pages of handicapping information. That's good stuff.
Yeah. It takes a village, I guess, to put together a college football betting guide, but we managed to do so.
So getting right into the Huskers here, we're in Big Red Country. The overall sentiment was that the Huskers were so close last year, losing 8 of 9 games by one score. And even the other loss to Ohio State, 26-17. So it wasn't a blowout by any means. Do you agree with that assessment that this could be a breakout year for the Big Red?
I think they certainly should be a better team. They were better, as you just mentioned, that their record indicated last year. They just, made mistakes at crucial times. And a lot of that was on Adrian Martinez, who is now, of course, with Chris Kleeman at Kansas State. So Casey Thompson coming in from Texas, he does have starting experience. But I think just the addition of Mark Whipple as the offensive coordinator is going to really help this team. And obviously, Mark Whipple can come in and say, hey, I have a track record. I made Kenny Pickett a Heisman candidate. I made him a first-round draft pick with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We had one of the best offenses in the country. So I'm going to be interested to see, because I think Nebraska, kind of the behind-the-scenes stuff has been very interesting with this program. The AD, Trev Alberts, of course, part of the glory years under Tom Osborne as the AD, he's given Scott Frost and saying he's my guy, but with conditions, the decrease in pay and, some concessions that Scott Frost had to make. We know that Trev does not want to let go of Scott Frost, even though the pressure is on and the seat is at least at the bare minimum warm. We know that Trev, I think, wants to make this work because it is kind of a family atmosphere. And you see all that with like North Carolina basketball. They've always kept it within the family. I think Nebraska football really wants to get back to doing that, keeping it within what Tom Osborne and everybody before him built with this program. But the interesting thing, I think, Andy, with this offense is how much control is Scott Frost going to give to Mark Whipple? Because Mark Whipple is going to want a lot of control of this offense, and he's not going to be a guy that's, going to be a meek personality. He's going to be pretty headstrong. So I want to see if Scott Frost, who's an offensive guy in his own right and had his own success at Oregon and at UCF, if he's going to say, okay, coach, you run the offense, we'll collaborate, but you are the final veto power here. So I'm interested to see if that's going to materialize, because that's the one thing on offense that I think can be concerning going forward. Even though I like Casey Thompson at quarterback, I think Nebraska is going to be able to run the ball, but they're going to throw the ball a lot more this year too, because you got to think that Whipple is going to want to be more up-tempo with the offense.
Yeah, and you took me right to where I wanted to go. Let's talk transfer portal. Nebraska has a top 10, top 5, by some accounts, transfer portal class.
headlined by Casey Thompson, who, oh, by the way, ended up leading the Big 12 in 10 games with 24 touchdown passes last year. On the defensive side, you got TCU transfer O'Shawn Mathis, who's bringing in his breakout season from last year, 9 sacks, 14 tackles for loss, and it fills a big need for the Big Red on the defensive side. But starting with Casey Thompson, the weapons he has that came through the portal, do you think that's going to lead to a few more wins, especially behind Mark Whipple, like you're talking about?
I would think so, Andy. And look, they get an opportunity to have at least a very good start. I know they got the game in Dublin with Northwestern. And, you know, because it's a road game for both teams, it could be a coin flip. I would still lean to the Huskers in that one. You get North Dakota and Georgia Southern at home in Lincoln. So you should be 3-0 before the Sooners come into town on September 17th. And look, they were right there with the Sooners. You mentioned how many close games. They were right there with Oklahoma last year. New coach, Oklahoma is going to be a relatively substantial favorite, even in Lincoln. But new coach, little bit of a new system. Dylan Gabriel, I think he's going to be an outstanding quarterback for that program. But you never know. Early in the season, sometimes is when you can get these projected to be elite teams. So you get essentially 4 home games after Dublin. You get my alma mater, Indiana, who I think Nebraska would be a favorite over as well. Indiana took a big nosedive last year, went down to 2-10 with all the injuries they had. But yeah, I absolutely think that they should get more wins. And one of the things I want to see is if the passing offense is going to be more explosive. They rated 26th, actually, in explosiveness last year, averaging 0.161 expected yards above average per play. But they only had 57 total plays of 20 or more yards, and that was 86 out of like 130 Division I teams in FBS. So Mark Whipple, I think, is going to raise that number just on the nature of the play calling and going a little bit more tempo on offense, because that's what everybody does now in college football. That's the name of the game. Run as many plays as you can, as fast as you can. And I think Nebraska is going to follow suit there. So there's an opportunity to get off to a good start. Let's say they even lose to Oklahoma and they're 4-1 going into Rutgers. I just think that the schedule is a little bit easier this year simply because you drop Ohio State and Michigan State and you add Indiana and Rutgers at the bottom of the Big Ten East. So just on the nature of the schedule, you got to think that the Huskers are going to be better this year.
And you already mentioned the Oklahoma Sooners coming to town. A lot of folks are circling that game as maybe an upset alert to maybe get some money on taking the dog that would be Nebraska. And the metrics kind of line up for that. New coaching staff at Oklahoma. It'll be week 3, but week 4 for Nebraska since they played in week 0 over in Dublin, Iowa. What do you make of that being a potential upset?
I think it could be. I think certainly Oklahoma is definitely going to want to be on alert. I would expect Oklahoma to be, you know, a little bit into double-digit favorites, maybe like a 10-point favorite. But you've also got to look at the scheduling. Oklahoma gets 2 easy games at home, relatively speaking. Even though UTEP and Kent State are not bad within their conference, they're going to be substantial underdogs, obviously, in Norman. Then you go to Nebraska, and then you have Kansas State. And Kansas State's kind of at Oklahoma's number, even though Oklahoma got the win last year, 37-31 in Manhattan. Kansas State and Chris Kleeman have kind of had those guys' number. So this is, you know, it's like that sandwich game. You got to go to Nebraska. These kids, even though they weren't born yet, one of the greatest rivalries all time in college football, Oklahoma and Nebraska. Growing up as a kid in the 80s, I remember Barry Switzer against Tom Osborne, and both these teams ran the triple option on offense. So, you know, it was just a totally different bygone era of college football, but still a tricky scheduling spot. And I think Nebraska can get them. But even though Oklahoma is still the most talented team in the Big 12, a lot of new stuff defensively. We'll see what the offense is. You always kind of assume that the offense is going to be very good, even though you now have a new coordinator, Jeff Levy, coming in from Ole Miss, really pretty much taking control of the offense.
And we already kind of talked about some of the zaniness that Nebraska displayed last year, and it really, I felt, affected some betting lines, the ATS, all that type of stuff. Just for an example, you know, last year heading into Iowa, they were 3-8, 1-7 in the Big Ten. Yet they had a plus 70 point differential. Nebraska was outscoring their opponents 314-244 at the time heading into that game, and, you know, was a plus 7 differential in the Big Ten alone. And then end up losing to Iowa by 1 score, by 7, so it ended up being 0-0. However, they only had 3 wins to show for that season. Does that affect, like, the betting lines or how you guys, the cappers, assess Nebraska, or is that last year and that's in the past?
No, I think it's a little bit of both, I think, because it does give at least a little bit of potential value, because one of the things, especially new bettors getting into the market, and because this is getting legal in more and more states on a daily, weekly, monthly basis, you're getting new bettors into the market. So bettors are kind of prone, Andy, I think, to bet what they see last. And what they saw last with Nebraska, they're 3-9 team. This program, you know, doesn't have it anymore. It's not the glory years. So, you know, they kind of maybe look at them as they're a down program and don't understand that there could be some upward trajectory, even though when you look at the starters, only 4 on offense, 5 on defense, that, they don't bring a lot back. But the transfer portal is a new reality. Now, one of the things about the transfer portal, it's very much a short-term fix. You don't want to necessarily over-rely on it, even though Mel Tucker certainly is doing that at Michigan State, and it's working out well, had double-digit wins last year, but you don't want to necessarily do that long-term. That's good for a 1 year. It's like, okay, we're short in the secondary. We got to go hit the portal. But you don't want to get too much into that, because you still want to recruit enough out of the high schools and the prep schools to be able to develop players. And I think Nebraska currently is in that role a little bit, because this is not running the triple option. And I know you still have people in and around the state and in and around Lincoln that probably like, I wish we still ran the triple option. It's very much like my alma mater with Indiana basketball. You still have people saying, I wish we ran the motion offense like we did under Bob Knight, and we're strictly a man-to-man defense team. No zone, no trapping, no pressing. It's like, okay, it's not the 1980s anymore, guys. We got to move forward. We got to upgrade the offense. We're not a service academy, so we're not going to run the triple option. So that's been, I think, a culture shock to the fans and really the observers of the program. But I'm a little bit higher on Nebraska now, 7.5. I think that that's probably about right. I think the odds makers put out a good number, because they recognize, maybe more so than the general casual bettors, that this schedule is relatively easy, except when you get into the final 3 weeks and you got to go to Michigan, then you got Wisconsin coming in, and then you got to go to Iowa. That's a tough stretch, but everything before that is very much manageable.
Yeah, and you kind of were touching on some trends there. That's one of the things that kind of jumped out at me in this preview, and that was Nebraska being 6-1 ATS as a road underdog. I mean, just totally going against the grain. You'd never want to go with a road guy that's having a tough season, but Nebraska even last year was able to pull that off.
Yeah, absolutely. And they'll have, at least maybe one opportunity this year, depending on how Purdue starts out. I could see Nebraska as a small underdog at Purdue, nothing substantial, nothing more than 3 points, depending on how the Boilermakers start. But we know good offensive team there in West Lafayette, but that's a winnable game. Obviously, the Rutgers game the week before, they're probably going to be small favorites at the bare minimum. So if you go 2-2 on those road games, because they're going to be underdogs at Michigan, they're going to be underdogs in Iowa for what is the title of it now, the Hy-Vee game? It is a rivalry in Nebraska and Iowa. But they're going to be underdogs at both of those places, but maybe not substantial based on how they start, because I could see this team starting out, 7-2 before they go into those final three games, or potentially 8-1 if they could steal one of those road games, maybe steal one at Purdue or pull an upset perhaps over Oklahoma. But they should beat Illinois at home. They should beat Minnesota at home. But that's kind of been the story with Nebraska. Yeah. These teams that they should beat at home, they end up having a lame performance, the Northwestern game a couple years ago. So they got to hold serve at home is what they have to do, and see if they can pull an upset on the road. That's why I think 7.5 is about right. If you made me bet it, I would lean a little bit to the over, just because I think people are sleeping on this Nebraska team, and the West is clearly way more wide open in the Big Ten than the Big Ten East, where it's like, okay, how many games are Ohio State going to win and how much are they going to win by is basically it. But in the West, you've got 4 or 5 teams that can make cases for winning this division. Iowa and Wisconsin, clearly, Purdue, Minnesota, Nebraska. I would put them all right there. There's not much separation between them.
Well, let's jump across the river here and let's talk about the Iowa Hawkeyes. You also have them sitting at that 7.5, and the majority of your contributors kind of leaning towards that over. Is that where you're at as well?
Yeah, I am. And I know the quarterback play has been an inconsistent. Spencer Petras lost his job last year. Alex Padilla came in for a couple starts, then back to Petras. But we know with Iowa, ever since Nathan Stanley has been gone, and even a little bit before that, the quarterback play is just kind of what it is. It's not something that really just reaches out and grabs you. It's not something that dazzles you. But Iowa is always a team that can run the football, and they always have one of the best offensive lines in the country. If you want to go play offensive line there, you could count the programs on one hand that you would go play at before Iowa, because Kirk Ferentz and those guys know how to get you to the professional level. So there's Iowa guys all over the NFL in terms of offensive lines. So you got to think they're going to run the ball. They're going to be solid defensively, fundamentally. I think they led the country or one of the top two last year in interceptions and in takeaways. So that's a team that can take away the football. Maybe that's going to regress a little bit. But Iowa, Andy, is just going to be what they are. They're always calling for, you know, innovations within the offense. And they're always calling for Brian Ferentz's head and these guys. And like, okay, be a little bit more creative. Be a little bit more multiple. You know, throw the ball down the field a little bit more. But I don't think Kirk Ferentz, having spent almost 25 years in Iowa City, is going to change his identity. As we get older, we get a little bit more set in our ways. So he's going to be stubborn and be like, you know what? I know what the hell I'm doing here. Yeah. You know, I've had a pretty good run here in Iowa for about a quarter century. So I'm going to keep doing what I'm doing. They're going to run their base stuff. The schedule is manageable early for the Hawkeyes too. South Dakota State, Iowa State, of course, the Cy-Hawk game, and then Nevada Reno coming in, and then at Rutgers. So you could see Iowa starting 4-0 with Michigan, kind of like what they did last year where Penn State was undefeated. And then Sean Clifford, the quarterback, gets hurt. And then Iowa goes ahead and wins that game in Iowa City in a battle of top five teams. So I would lean Iowa to the over. And if you made me say who's going to win the West, I would still say the Hawkeyes, that it goes through Iowa City.
Yeah, and they had a strong defense, end up being ranked nationally 13th overall defense, and a lot of folks have them even getting better this year. So that's a scary defensive front there for the Hawkeyes. Skipping over to the east side, Ohio State, everybody's talking about them. Over-under set at 10.5. You guys are kind of leaning towards that over. I mean, they're also a huge favorite at minus 210 to win the Big Ten overall. Stroud's a Heisman hopeful. Like, he's at the top of the list. What isn't there to like about the Buckeyes?
You know, and when you look at it, Andy, and we were talking about the win total being, you know, minus 240. Look, I don't lay that high a vig on a win total. But that being said, I'm not going to dissuade you necessarily and say, because I don't see two losses on that schedule. So that's mm-hmm. what you gotta look at with Ohio State. I would much rather them to win the conference. Offensively, they're going to be absolutely terrific with C.J. Stroud back, kind of the co-favorite, depending on the market you look at, with Bryce Young, the quarterback of Alabama. They've arguably got the best receiver in the history of the program, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and that's pretty high praise when you look at Ohio State, because this is a program that's had Chris Carter and Joey Galloway and David Boston. They just had two guys drafted in the top 11 for the NFL draft, and only Ohio State could say, yeah, we're better at receiver without those guys, because you also have Marvin Harrison Jr., whose daddy was pretty good, had a nice career with the Indianapolis Colts, a Hall of Famer. So they're going to be able to throw the ball all over the place. Travion Henderson is a dynamic running back. And then they have five-star guys like Mayan Williams behind him. So they like to give equal carries, Ryan Day and Kevin Wilson. So they're going to have a nice 1-2 punch. But it's all going to come down to the defense. Can Jim Knowles really make a difference? And we know that he did in Stillwater with Oklahoma State. They were one of the top 10 defenses in the country. So Ohio State has the talent defensively. They just didn't have the discipline, because you watch those guys and how athletic and how good they are. You'd see them take bad angles. You'd see them not break down. Just bad fundamental play. Just a lot of mental mistakes as well defensively. So I think if Jim Knowles can at least clean that up, the talent is over there. They're absolutely loaded, especially in terms of the front seven. The secondary's got a couple starters back as well. So you just look at how they're recruiting, Andy. They don't rebuild, they reload. They're getting five stars all over the place. An embarrassment of riches. So, you know, myself at Indiana, it's like if we get a couple four-star kids, we're building a statue for the coach, because we're always getting those three-star kids that we say, okay, run through a brick wall, and then they have to go ahead and do it for you. You just have so much talent on both sides of the ball. Yeah. Ohio State's going to start out 5-0. They're going to be favorite in those home games. Then they got to go to Michigan State. You know, could be a little bit of a tricky spot up there at Spartan Stadium. You also got to go to Happy Valley, but they're still going to be double-digit favorites in every single game.
And let's take a second just to step outside the Big Ten. I'd noticed in your guys' preview, Kansas State sitting there at 6.5 as their over-under. You guys like them to go over if, big if, quarterback play can help itself from turning the ball over. Obviously, Adrian Martinez was a year-to-year starter for Nebraska a long time. We love the guy. It was kind of bittersweet to see him move on. Do you think Mr. Martinez can get it done for the Wildcats and they can improve to a 7-win season?
I do like their win total over. I like what Chris Gleeman has done. I think he's a very unheralded coach. We know what he did up at North Dakota State, winning these FCS championships and continuing them being the powerhouse there in the lower division. But I like Martinez with this offense. They're going to run a little bit of zone read, take advantage of his running ability. He's still going to have to make plays and throw the football, and he's got two of his three starting receivers back. But having Deuce Vaughn back there, I think, is just a different dynamic, because Nebraska, while they were able to run the ball, they didn't have that one, you know, dog in the backfield, shall we say, that could, you know, just bust one whenever. And Deuce Vaughn has that capability. So I think that they're going to be a threat there offensively. I like what they have defensively. They're going to be very solid. They're going to force turnovers. Just looking at their schedule, they have three games at home in Manhattan to start the season. They have South Dakota, Missouri, you know, SEC team. So that's a little bit more of a coin flip with Stolina, Kansas State, and then Tulane coming in before they got to go to Oklahoma. But Kansas State has been able to pull upsets on the road in recent years. And, you know, they got Texas Tech last year. They almost got Texas last year. So they always win one of those games that you don't project that they're going to win. Maybe it's at Oklahoma. Maybe it's at Baylor this year. So, yeah, I think that they're going to go over 6.5. They're the dark horse in the conference. I still don't think that they have enough to overcome Oklahoma or to overcome Texas. But they're a top 3-4 team, I think, in the Big 12, and that's going to be good enough for 6.5 wins for Martinez and company.
Okay, so we talk a lot of Nebraska, Iowa, Ohio State, and the Big 10. Are there any value plays going into this season that you're kind of eyeballing that maybe others aren't maybe looking at?
Yeah, just kind of around the conferences, Andy, or specifically within the Big 10?
Big 10.
Yeah, looking at the Big 10, I kind of think that Maryland maybe could get over 6 this year. And 6, I think, is the right number, but you're just banking on, okay, is this offense going to be dynamic enough to upset somebody? I really like Talia Tagovailoa. I think we all remember that matchup against Iowa where he had the 5 interceptions and it was just a disaster. Well, he didn't turn it over, Harley. I think he had 3 interceptions over the last 7 games. So that was kind of just an aberration. And they lost Dante Demas in that game for the season due to injury. If you look at the receivers, maybe Ohio State would be number one. I think they would certainly be number one. But Maryland, in terms of a 1-2 punch at receiver, is probably second or third in the conference with Rakeem Jarrett and Dante Demas. These were both 5-star guys out of high school. So, you know, they'll be able to score points. Is the defense going to be good enough? And that's the thing with Mike Locksley. He's always been a terrific recruiter, but maybe some of the game management sometimes can be a little bit in question. So, you know, he is fearless, though, and they'll go play people and they'll be aggressive on offense. They're not going to be, okay, you know, we're going to hem-haw over decision, you know, 4th and 2, 4th and 3. We're going to keep the offense on the field. So he never blinks in that, and I at least respect that about him. They got 3 starters back on the offensive line. Actually, they got 4 starters back on the offensive line. So they got to see if they can run the ball a little bit. They're going to have a new running back there because Field Davis has now graduated. But offensively, they're going to be dynamic. Now, don't trip up in the non-conference. You got Buffalo at Charlotte and SMU. SMU, that's going to be a really high-scoring game. I'd be interested to see what the total is. Maybe take the over there because Rhett Lashley comes there at SMU, and they were one of the more up-tempo offenses in the country at Miami. But I could see Maryland getting the 7. They finally got to a bowl game last year, and they absolutely crushed Virginia Tech in that bowl game, 54-10 in the Pinstripe Bowl up there at Yankee Stadium. So I think good momentum for this program of the what we call the bottom 3 in the East. And as my alma mater is one of the bottom 3 every year in the East, seemingly at Indiana, Maryland, Indiana, and Rutgers. Who's the team that maybe could get into that level and at least get right to the middle or get to the bottom of that top 4 in the East? And I think it's Maryland.
Hey, I love it. I got a lot of family living out there in Maryland, so go Terps.
Beer the turtle, as we say, right?
There we go. All right, Wes, a lot of good stuff there. If folks want to get on board and check out the VSiN's 2022 College Football Betting Guide, where do they got to go? And I believe your Twitter handle is WesReynolds1. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. At Wes Reynolds and the number 1. You can also go to VSiN.com, check out our programming, all the different offers we have. If you just want to get the betting guide or if you want to be a subscriber throughout the season, we got some specials going on here right before the football season. So hit us up at VSiN.com.
Wes, I can't thank you enough. Thank you for your time.
And to you, Batman. Thank you.
Welcome back to WTL, everybody. I'm your host, Andy Klassen, joined by...
Jabron.
Hey, Jabron. What'd you think of old Wes Reynolds there from VSIN?
You know what? I'm kind of lining up with him a little bit here. That guy was...
He's persuasive.
He was talking in my style of talking. I really liked him. He was pretty high on our Huskers. Not, like, overly crazy, obviously. Yeah. You could tell that he wasn't a Husker fan. But he has that optimism that we can make that step in which, you know, everybody drinking the Kool-Aid here in the Big Red State has, you know, done for years. So I really like to see an outsider's perspective of that and know that, you know, we're just not, you know, full of it, thinking that we could make that next step.
I thought it was very interesting before we started recording there. He goes, man, there's so many parallels between Indiana basketball. You know, he's an alum.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
And Nebraska football.
Right.
He goes, man, football is better when Nebraska's good.
Yes.
Like, it would really help the Big Ten. It would have helped the Big 12.
Right.
Back in the day.
No doubt.
And it would help the Big Ten right now if Indiana basketball
exactly.
was at that point.
So, yeah. If they were that, you know, top notch player like they usually were. So,
right. Yep. So I found that pretty interesting. And of course, I agree with him.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think of this line for Nebraska? The over-under is at 7.5.
Yeah.
Wes was kind of leaning. He goes, man, I like the over. And I'm like, oh, here we go again.
Yeah.
Just giving everyone the Kool-Aid that they're looking for here.
No.
Where are you at?
Yes. I really like that 7.5. I do believe it's fair. I do believe that's where the line should be. But I'm looking at our schedule right now, Andy, and I really like that 7.5. At that -115 line, too, I really like the value in it. Going over. I mean, I'm just sitting here, you know, Northwestern we're beaten, North Dakota we're beaten, Georgia Southern we're beaten, Indiana we're beaten, Rutgers we're beaten, Illinois we're beaten. We could literally stack up these 7.5 wins before we hit the hard part of our schedule with Michigan, Wisconsin, and Iowa right at the end of the year. So my plan is to have those 7.5 wins in before those last three games of the year.
The only way I can agree with you on that is if we win in Ireland, if we win that Northwestern game. Until I see that, I am not touching this because that could go way wrong.
Well,
and then it's just back to
the drawing board.
I mean, and also, none of those are guaranteed wins. I mean, Illinois, haven't they won the last 2 years against Nebraska?
Yeah, they beat
Purdue,
us. Purdue,
Minnesota. Like, I was on a 7-year winning streak.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand how difficult that is for a Husker fan? Like, you can't even.
Oh, I do.
You can't even talk smack to Iowa.
No,
guys.
That you sucks. Know, that
gotta,
sucks.
You got to do the old Pittsburgh Steelers five rings.
Five rings. Well, we do have them,
man. At least we do have it there. So that 7.5, I found it interesting that Wes Reynolds liked the over, even though his fellow writers, he got outvoted to where in their preview guide they're saying take the under.
Yeah.
So overall, the VSIN and their team that put together this college football preview for 2022, which is immaculate, by the way, over 300 pages covering all 131 teams.
Yeah.
They like the under. And if I had to bet this, you know, I would take the under as well.
No way.
Oh, give me a break.
No way.
That's doubling their win total.
Oh, yeah.
And more.
Yeah.
You have to win 8 games. It's at 7.
We should have won 8 last year. We were in every game. I'll give you one lock here, Andy. One lock of the season.
Okay, here we go.
You're scared about the game. I'm not scared about it at all. We're going to Ireland, and not only are we beating Northwestern, this prop is out there right now, or this line has already been out in most Nebraska books just because they know that we want to get in on our Huskers early.
We
are at a -12 favorite, and we're hitting that. We're beating by a minimum of 2 touchdowns, probably 3.5. this -12 line, we're blowing these guys out of the water. We beat them by like 35 last year.
Hey, I think it's that game.
Yes. Yep. And we're gonna do it again, and we're gonna start the season on a right note, something that we haven't done in prior years, and it's gonna get us on a roll.
That's a lot of faith based material there.
There it is.
And earlier lines even had this at 12.5.
Yeah.
I just gotta say, Jabron, you are one ignorant schmuck. I mean, this has to be a place here. Where,
just drinking the Kool-Aid a little bit?
Oh, man. And there's so many X factors that go into this. First game of the season, going overseas.
Yeah.
It's still kind of weird with the scheduling and all that stuff.
It is.
Just there's too many things. There's too much uncertainty for me to really look at that and feel good about a two-score or better favorite. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm not going there. And just like the Illinois game, right?
Yeah.
Where everyone said, we're going to have a good year unless
we lose.
Unless we lose to Illinois. Yeah. No, and we did.
And we did.
And we obliged. No,
you're right.
Know? So I'm a see it to believe it.
Yep.
That's
nope,
where I'm at right now.
I got
now
you.
This.
I'm just singing with this new high-powered offense that we got with Whipple coming in, with Casey Thompson throwing bombs, with these, you know, these transfers and all this kind of stuff. Uh-huh. I think we finally have the coaching places, you know, where we need them, and we got the players that we need to, you know, really go after it. I'll tell you another one that you think
we got the pieces.
We got the pieces. We got the pieces. And another one that you're going to even be more mad at me, Andy, that I'm going to throw out right now is there's lines on every game, and one that I am circling right now, right now, Oklahoma coming into Lincoln, Nebraska. We're getting plus 6 points in this game, and I am hammering it today. We are going to win this game outright.
Wow.
It is a rivalry game, and we are taking this one. We should have won in Oklahoma last year. Uh-huh. They have lost so many people to USC this offseason, and they're going to come in.
Coaching staff, right?
Yeah, and they're going to I think they're going to hold their head high and think that they should win this game pretty easily.
Yeah.
I think they're going to come in, you know, thinking that we're the PUD that we have been for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I think we are going to win this game outright. I'm taking the 6 points and putting those in my back pocket. I think we win by a field goal or a touchdown, Andy.
Well, you know, I brought that one up to Wes Reynolds.
Yeah.
You know, because there is a lot of money being shifted towards that game right now.
For sure.
A lot of upset alert, you know, chatter out there.
No doubt.
And I think there's some value to be had in that as well, because it's a completely different team than last year.
No doubt.
On both sides. And there's some huge ifs on the Nebraska side. And the big one being, will Casey Thompson just not turn the ball over?
Right.
That's really all there is to it.
Yeah.
If the offense can just kind of do what they did last year,
yeah,
maybe be a little more prolific, push the ball down the field, not as predictable.
Yeah.
But along with that, you know, we're talking, oh, my God, are they opening the can of worms for more turnovers to happen?
Yeah.
I thought the way the offense was last year, that RPO stuff, where you had a running back, quarterback touching the ball at the same time, you know, every other play, that opened the door for a lot of turnovers, and we saw that transpire.
It did.
So maybe,
especially late in games.
Yeah, so maybe this year with a more pro style, more traditional throwing the ball down the field, forcing corners and safeties to cover the pass, that might also placate well for some running backs to get some room. So I don't hate you for this one.
Yeah.
But I don't have to bet that till we get a little closer either.
Agreed. The whole thing that I'm out – looking at this, Andy, is that, you know, this isn't just a Nebraska line. This is nationwide that they're giving us plus six. So that really, really resonates with me, that people really think that we are a real deal college football team this year, only being a 6-point dog to, you know, probably the best team in the Big 12 coming into the season, and they really think that we're going to hold our own against them. And with my Nebraska fandom behind that, it's really pushing me towards this plus six. Especially, you're saying that we have a lot of open-ended questions with Nebraska. They have just as many down in Oklahoma.
But their talent. Don't get it twisted.
Yeah, I'm not.
They got the 4 and 5 stars, enough of them that stayed home, okay?
Yep.
Or they brought in, and Nebraska's just not there right now. I do have a little trend here that I want to throw at you that might bode well for your bet with Northwestern, just to backtrack a little bit. Nebraska is 18-1 ATS, last 10 games where they traveled over 1,000 miles or more.
Boom.
They're going to be traveling a lot more
than 1,000
to get the Ireland, eh?
Yep.
So, hey, we'll see what happens there.
I told you it's a lock, so okay, I don't need any more stats. It's a lock. We are beating these guys by over 12.
To follow that up, though, Nebraska's 0-10 against the spread at home as a top 10 seed, though, and we're not going to be ranked anywhere close to the top 10.
There you go.
At that point. But
it's all lining up.
Okay. All right. Oh, man. Once again, I get it that line might be closer, you know, with every week, with every game that Nebraska hopefully wins.
Well, no,
right?
that's what I am thinking, Andy. I think it's going to.
But didn't that line open up at like plus 2.5? you know, and it's already swelled up to plus six.
Yeah, no. So, I think it's when Oklahoma comes in, we're 3-0, they're 2-0. I really think it's going to be about a 3-point. I think it's going to be a 3-point line. And
that.
Now with the 6 points, even if it is a 3-point game, I'm getting those 6 points. I really think it's a good bet. And I'm going with the Huskers.
All right, all right. I think that's what the Husker fans want to hear.
No doubt.
Don't know if the Husker bettors want to hear. Anything else you heard from Old West that kind of caught your ear?
It really did. And you know, we're gonna keep it red. Our transfer quarterback, Adrian Martinez, heading down south to Kansas State. I really like the 6.5. The 6.5 win total that they have there. I like it to go over. I know that some people aren't going to like that bet, but I'm looking at this schedule right now, Andy, and I see 6 wins on it for sure, in my mind for sure. And these guys always pull off an upset against an Oklahoma State, a Texas.
Uh-huh.
And I really think with Adrian playing as well as he can and this running back, Deuce Vaughn, that people are saying he's probably the best running back in the Big 12, maybe in the nation, I really think it's going to be a high-powered offense that can kind of outscore people.
Well, you're right in step there with what Wes Reynolds was thinking.
Yeah.
He also likes the over for Kansas State. However, it's the same type of deal here where his, you know, the other contributors, the other writers to this college football preview,
yeah,
they outvoted him. So they actually have Kansas State with the under,
and that's
where I'm at.
Yeah.
And I mean, I've never seen someone with such an uncanny ability to make sure you lose a game than their new trigger man.
Yeah.
Okay, and Adrian's a great guy. Family man, all that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't want to take that away from him. And I loved it how he laid it all out on the line.
Right.
But, man, that decision-making down the stretch when all the chips were pushed to the middle of the table, I mean.
Really loses games.
It almost got comical how things happened.
Yeah, you know, could be up by 14 and you know we're going to lose.
Michigan State, Iowa, what is going on? Michigan.
Yeah.
And that interception against Oklahoma early in the season, like, I get it. That was a Superman play.
It was.
Superman, next level type of linebacker.
And we're fine with that play.
Yeah, we're fine.
Even
that play, I'm saying, why throw it to where that dude could even take a stab at it? And, of course, he takes a stab at it and brings it in.
Right.
I mean, just why?
Yep.
Why? And I just hope that doesn't have to be what Husker Nation has to endure this year. But I know, you know, after 4 years of experiencing it, that is what Kansas State is going to have.
Is going towards.
Yes.
Especially with, you know, the way the Big 12 puts the ball in the air.
think of it this way.
And no defense in the Big 12.
You're betting on Kansas State winning 7 games. It took Adrian 2 years to win 7 games with a hell of a lot more talent around him.
Agreed.
I'm going to say better coaches the whole 9 years. I know
the Big Ten's a little better in my mind.
Low fruit there with Scotty F. as the head coach.
Yeah.
You know, I get it. That's low fruit. But you know where I'm going with that.
Yeah.
So I'm hammering that under there with Kansas State, and I feel like there's a pretty good reason why.
Yeah.
And everything that Wes said in that interview, he always prefaces it. If.
This is the way I'm leaning. He's not as much cut in the sand like I am.
Yeah.
But, no, I like it. It looks like we're splitting on, you know, a couple of these here, Andy. That's the way it is. That's the way it goes.
All right, let's take a quick minute here to recognize this week's sponsor, Nebraska Brewing Company. World class in every glass.
Yep.
I'm drinking the Cardinal. I think you got the Eos over there.
Yes, sir.
Hefeweizen. Hey, man, that was a lot of fun earlier this week, wasn't it?
Yeah, no, that was awesome. Heading out to Nebraska Brewing Company.
Tap Room.
Yeah, Tap Room.
Yep.
There in La Vista. Hearing the No Block, No Rock guys bringing a couple Huskers and really just talk shop. It was a lot of fun to be out there and, you know, having a couple brews as well.
Good beer. I had the No Block, No Rock Ale. How
yeah.
about that?
Yep. Huh? That was very good. I was, you know, hammering the taco vases there. You know, trying to post up at the NBA Jam Machine, trying to, you know, get somebody to play me, but everybody's scared.
All right. So thanks to, they're scared. They're shaking in their boots. Once again, thanks goes out to Wes Reynolds of VSIN for joining us on the podcast this week. And thank you for listening. My name's Andy Klassen, joined by
Jabron.
This is WTL.
The Nebraska Public Media Sports brings you live all-day coverage of the NSAA High School Football Championships on Monday, November 24th and Tuesday, November 25th. Watch all day, both days, on Nebraska Public Media or live stream every game on Nebraska Public Media's YouTube channel.